So we are continuing in our series of messages. The title of this message series is Learning to Love God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but I am a lover of God's Word.
Yes. Yeah.
How about that third song that we sang? How about all the worship set? Wasn't that awesome?
Wow.
That was the Holy Spirit is here.
Amen.
Was in that worship. And that third song that we sang was actually a scripture, Hebrews 4:12. And so there's something about taking the word of God and singing it and speaking it back to the Lord that's very powerful in our lives. And so by the end of this series, you know, my hope, our prayer is that your declaration will be the same thing, that I'm a lover of God's mm-hmm. word, or I'm learning to become more of a lover of God's word. And there are really, like you could say, hundreds, thousands of reasons why we should be lovers of God's word. Because the Bible, you know, the main one is that God's word holds the key. It holds the wisdom to salvation and eternal life.
Hallelujah. Yes.
I mean, deep inside of every human heart is a desire to live forever. I don't know one person who's ever lived that said, I don't want to go on forever. There's something in the human heart that kind of recoils at death. It's like we know we're supposed to live forever. And this word provides the wisdom on how to obtain eternal life. And so the message of the gospel has the power to do that. The story of the cross, which is what the Bible really is all about, is the power to save your soul and to show you a way. This is, look at John 17:3. We have this on the outline, our first scripture. It says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, meaning God the Father, and the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so if that were the only reason, that'd be enough reason to say we need to be lovers of God's word, because it will point us onto the path of knowing Jesus, knowing God the Father, and having eternal life. And so the words on the pages of the Bible are living words. They contain the plan of redemption, God's plan for mankind, his plan for your life, his will for your life, his will for your children's lives, your family. What an awesome treasure. That we don't have to just come into the earth and just go in all directions, that we really can know the will of God for our lives. And God's word is his will. And it'll instruct us on how to think. It'll instruct us, giving us wisdom and discernment and understanding for the times that we live in. And we do need it, don't we? I mean, you look out of the world and you think, what is going on? Or am I just the only one that like turns on the news and I think,
I got to get my computer just died on me, so I'm going to get my...
You need to get a plug.
All
right.
What do you say?
But I'll just keep talking, all right? All right. But the Bible is going to teach you and I how to think. It's going to teach you and I how to live so that we are pleasing to God. And that's really what this is all about, too. It isn't just about finding out, you know, about myself and my identity in Christ. It's about being pleasing to God. We want to end this thing right. Amen? So last week we talked about the importance of hiding God's word in your heart, and I think that this is message number 4. So if you've missed any of the messages, you want to listen, you can listen for free on our website. You can go on iTunes. You can, I think it's Podbean for people that aren't iTunes. Is that right? Does anybody know that? I don't know. I think that's, is that right, Mary? Okay. So it's all free listening if you want to just catch up on what this series has been about. But today we want to share a message about honoring the authority of God in the scripture, honoring the authority of scripture in our life. Are we good? Are we good? Pray over this computer.
Yeah, I'm getting a new one today.
It's just in time. Just in time. You could share my notes if you need to.
Yeah, this isn't working at all.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's just not plugged in yet.
All right.
Thanks, Mary. Work!
It shall work. All right. So what are we sharing this message about today? Honoring, it's the title of our message, honoring the authority of the scriptures.
Yeah.
All right? Honoring the authority of the scriptures. This is on our outline, if you're taking notes. If you desire to increase your love for the word of God, if you're like, yeah, that's me,
mm-hmm.
you must welcome the Bible into your life. Ooh. And accept its full authority.
Yes.
There you go.
If you want to increase your love for the Word of God, you're like, yeah, I should love God's Word more than I do, then welcome the Bible into your life and accept its full authority. Not just a little bit of its authority, but its full authority. We live in a culture that has all but lost its respect for authority.
Isn't that true? Come on.
I mean, whether it's parents trying to raise their kids to respect parental authority, or, you know, respecting your boss on the job, somebody who's over you in authority, respecting the laws that govern our land that we're supposed to live by. I mean, it used to be, I think of the President of the United States was one of the most, used to be a position that held one of the most respected places in honor of a full authority, but you just might as well throw that out the window because you don't see much honor even for the president and people in authority. And I understand people do wrong things and people say, well, they don't deserve it. But nevertheless, we honor the role that
that
God puts people in. And so the church has to be careful. We have to be careful that we don't have that same flippant attitude and let it creep into our attitude about how we view God's authority over our life. Because when you start, say, coming under somebody's authority, there's something in our flesh that goes, oh, I don't know. You know, I don't know about all of it. Maybe some of it. Maybe not all of it, though. But when you consider that God is the creator of all things, if we are going to honor him as the Lord of life, the creator of life, being the highest authority,
right?
And he's given us his word. I mean, that's for that reason we must welcome it with full authority into our lives. I mean, and in doing that, he brings, it's like that song we sing, all the chaos, you bring my chaos back into order. Bring even the chaos of the world back into order. Because when you start to read the pages of this book, it's amazing the wisdom and discernment and insight it begins to give you about life and the things you see around you. As old as the pages are, as ancient as the book is, it's as relevant in 2019 as it was years ago when many of these words were written. And you just can't have a take it or leave it attitude towards the Word of God. Well, or just like, I'll take some of it and I'll leave some of it. I'll take some of this that I like and I'll leave some of this that I don't like.
It's,
right.
It's the whole counsel.
I mean, we welcome, right, the whole counsel. We talked about that last week, the full counsel of God. Yeah. That we don't want to just take a little bit of the counsel and then distort it. We want to take the full counsel. We want to give it his full authority. So you can't look at the Bible and consider it outdated as though it just doesn't apply to us anymore. Because the way you perceive the Bible, the way you look at it, the way you perceive the Bible is going to make a huge difference in your attitude and your full acceptance of its authority in your life.
Mm-hmm.
The attitude that you have towards it, is it a holy book to you? Is it a sacred book to you? Are these living words? Does this contain the will of God for my life? And we believe that it does. Scripture says this in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It says, and we also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God,
there we go,
which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Yeah. And so these words, they're not human words.
They're Can God. I hear an amen? Amen?
They're God's word.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because the Bible's not a normal book.
Right.
This it's the Holy Bible. It is a sacred book. Yeah. There's no other book like it. There'll never be a book like it, ever. You know, the Bible is the most read book in history. It's the best-selling book in history. It's the most translated book ever. And as we know right now, it's translated in every language that's known to man. Hopefully, we know that there's a struggle with people getting a Bible. We understood that. We talked about that. But, you know, we as Americans, we have the access to this word anytime, any place. And the Bible declares who much has been given, much is required.
Yeah, and we've been given much in this nation, have we not?
I think we need to understand that and put a little fear in our heart. Too much has been given, much is required. So we need to know what God is requiring of us. Amen. Yeah, so let's. I want to consider some of these remarkable truths about the Bible. It's written in three different languages over a period of 1,600 years. Everybody say 1,600 years.
1,600 years.
More than a dozen countries. It was written in more than a dozen countries. It was written out of three different continents by people of all walks of life. And most of the people didn't know each other, never lived in the same time period of each other, but, you know, they all received a part of the same story, of the same story.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. There's other religions that have a book, but they're all written by one individual. And so you understand that when it's written by one individual, now it's going to be consistent throughout. It's going to be, you're going to hear the same voice throughout. But consider the supernatural way this Bible came together. Really, think about it again. There's a unique group of people that wrote this, again, over 1,600 years. 1,600 years. People like that were poets, people were prophets, farmers, you know, there were kings, there were soldiers, there were shepherds, there were political leaders, there were princes, there were priests, there were fishermen, doctors, and tax collectors. Right there, all saying the same thing, pointing to one thing, a savior of the world.
Yeah.
It was written in palaces, in prisons, in the desert, in homes, in ships, in caves. It's like, come on now, think about it. Really, think about what we have.
Yeah.
Despite all those backgrounds, different time zones, 40 different writers over 1,600 years. Yeah. And they all speak of the same story. Right here. It's because the Bible has one author.
Yeah.
God himself.
Yeah.
This is God breathed.
Yeah.
This is your lifeline. Yeah. If you don't read this, you'll be deceived. Yeah. If you haven't been reading this, you are deceived. I'm just giving you a warning. Because this book gives you a warning about it.
Yeah.
We don't want anyone lost. We don't want anyone to see. We want everybody to walk in the light. We want everybody to know the truth. That's why we're here. Amen. Look at what this says on our outline. 2 Peter 2:21. No prophecy was ever made by an act of human, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. This, again, this is God breathed. It's infused with his power. It's anointed word. It's a living word.
Yeah.
It shows the way of salvation. It shows the way of victory. It shows the way of redemption.
Yeah.
Look at this. Go back to your outline. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us do the right things.
Right.
Amen? Amen. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Am I talking to the right people?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, and if you went on and read the next verse, verse 18, it says, for the reason it does this, that it's preparing and equipping us mm-hmm. to do good works for God.
Yes.
And so we have to go God's way. This is the awesome part. It's like we actually have his instruction book. You know, we have the story that he wants us to know about our lives.
Yep.
And here's something else that we need to remember about the authority of God's word, that it carries authority in three realms. Heaven.
True. Yes, yes.
And earth and under the earth. It carries authority in all three realms, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. There's a psalm in Psalm 119, 89.
Mm.
It says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled and firmly fixed in the heavens. And that word settled in Hebrew carries the meaning of it. It's like it's not open for debate. It's like a legal meaning.
Right.
Like it's settled, it's established. Like you're not going to just argue this in some court. And that's actually has a meaning, it's court of law, because God's word carries lawful authority.
Yes.
Heaven, earth, and under the earth. And we know that Satan is the one who tried to establish his word above God's word, right? To usurp it. He wanted to usurp God's authority. I will exalt my throne above his.
That's what he said.
That's what he said. But it could never succeed. And Satan, along with convincing one-third of the angels, fell with him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the story that the Bible tells. And ever since then, that spirit of rebellion has been afflicting mankind's thinking, mankind's heart, mankind's behavior ever since. And that was
right.
The beginning of the spirit that the Bible talks about. There's a spirit of lawlessness that's been at work ever since in the earth. Can you see it around you? Is it not evident that there is a spirit of lawlessness and rebellion against God's authority almost every place you look anymore? Yeah. And Satan, in the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, he calls Satan the prince of the power of the air.
Mm-hmm.
And it says he's still at work. And the sons of disobedience and those who go against the purposes of God. Causing what's he wanting to do in our minds? Causing us to doubt
right.
God. Doubt his authority. You don't need to come under his authority. Right? Doubt his authority, go against the purposes of God. And so Satan and the fallen angels and demons in the realm of darkness, that's the dark energy that's fueling the lawlessness that we see in the earth today. You know, you go on the news and you just listen to them argue about how to solve this thing politically and why is this all happening? And I just think, oh my gosh, it's like hidden in plain sight right here. Right here's your answer. This gives us the answer to what's going on in the world that we live in today.
Come on.
And Satan knows that his time is short. He knows that his time is short. Look at this. This is on our outline. Jesus said that one of the signs of his return would be an increase in lawlessness. Mm. If you read Matthew 24, you'll see that that's what he's talking about. And we are just seeing this everywhere. From heads of government to crime to hate groups to terrorism. People just fear walking alone at night anymore. Everybody's getting home security systems, you know.
Doors are locked.
Doors are...
you know. Well, we just had this recent tragedy down in, two of them, really. And everyone is shouting, let's stop it, let's stop it. And they want to pass new laws, take away the guns. People are blaming the president for doing this.
Yeah.
Now, how can you blame the president for doing this? You know, they want the stricter gun laws. Let me give you a heads up on this. Chicago has the strictest gun laws in the country behind Washington, D.C. And in Chicago, every weekend people are murdered. Right now, in August, as of the 7th of August, 306 people have been murdered in Chicago. And they keep thinking taking away guns is going to answer it. Chicago has the toughest gun laws in the country. So we see right in front of our face, that's not the answer. NBC and Universal Studios have made a movie called The Hunt. Anybody know about it? Yeah. The idea is to hunt down and kill Trump supporters.
Yeah.
They were going to release
Universal
this movie.
Studios.
Universal Studio, NBC.
What?
Yes. NBC. Is lawless abounding?
Yeah.
It is taking over the industries. Totally. This is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, they're arguing about, you know, take away from the guns from these mentally ill people. I'll tell you right now who's mentally ill. Those people who funded that movie and the people that acted in it and the people that want to distribute it.
Yes.
They have, because of the outcry, they have, this is how they said it. The marketing campaign would be temporarily paused.
Yeah.
This lawlessness is fueled by Satan and darkness. We, you know, behind the scenes and all the political stuff, all the media, all the movies, the businesses that are going on, even the education. In your everyday life, there is a battle going on for your soul.
Yeah.
It's eternal consequences. That's why we want you to love the Word of God, because this is the sword of the Spirit. Your faith is what's going to be a shield. The Bible declares your faith will quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, is he throwing darts at you? No, he's throwing thoughts in your mind. Anybody had goofy thoughts? Today, this morning. Come on, raise your hand.
Yeah, two hands, yeah.
Well, here we are. I want you to understand there's a battleground, and that is the enemy's tactic. And where's the battleground that we're fighting the good fight of faith? It's in your mind. Those aren't your thoughts. You're not thinking that stuff. But you will yield to it if you don't have any weapons. You will fall for the deception if you don't know this book.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing the devil doesn't want you to do. He doesn't want you to honor this word. He doesn't want you to know this word. He doesn't want you to believe this word. Even though it's been fixed in heaven, like God has already settled it.
Yeah.
He's going to stand on this word. He's going to show you the word. He's going to judge the world by this word. You and I are going to be judged by this word. And I'll tell you what, I want to know it so that I'm not standing before Jesus and he goes, "Oh boy, you're a mess." I said, "That's right. That's why I need a Savior." But as I grow in the things of the Spirit, what God wants you to do is mature. He wants you to know this book.
Yeah.
Because this book, look at what it says on our outline, John 17:3. "And this is eternal life, that they might know you, God the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent."
That's just powerful.
See, that Satan knows that if you get this in your heart, and you start to be a doer of this word, no matter what he says. And Jason came up with a really good one. One of the lowest tests that God puts on you and me is your finances. Is your money. So how are we doing there? This is what we want to do. We want to obey God in every area of our lives. But when we obey it, when we start to teach our children this, what's going to happen is you're going to stand and you're going to recognize Satan has no hold of you at all. It's all been a deception. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light.
Yeah.
If you don't know that, you're going to be deceived. If you don't live that, you're going to be deceived. This, because God has given you authority. He's given me authority through his word, through Jesus Christ.
Right.
You have more authority over this and your life than the devil.
But it begins with us honoring him, honoring the authority that he has as we approach it. I mean, think, this is on our outline. The Bible is a supernatural book whose words, these words contain the mind of Christ. They contain the thoughts of God. The mind of Christ. And so, like we're saying, as we meditate on it, we think on it, we plant it in our heart, we let it penetrate our heart.
Amen.
You know, so that we begin to act upon these words in faith. It's like we start to go, "God, I'm going to honor, like, these are words of authority over my life. I'm going to take steps to act upon them in faith." You will begin to partake of an anointing that belongs to God. And it comes into your life. It comes into your mind. It comes into your ability to discern what you see and what you're doing. And I think we do need strong minds in the days ahead.
Come on.
Yes.
Because there is a lot. We mentioned this word lawlessness again. The Bible even mentions the word delusion.
Yes.
It says at the end of the age, there's going to be a strong delusion that God is going to permit to come. In fact, he's going to allow it. And
it's here.
So that people's minds, I think I'm seeing this because sometimes I think, what is wrong with these? Why are you, what? How could you possibly look at life this way? Yeah. And so the Bible is a supernatural book that contains the mind of Christ. So we want to know how he thinks, right? And we hear so much these days about all the information, the knowledge stored in the cloud, right? Wherever that, where is the cloud? Well, no, it's up there, somewhere in the sky, yeah. It's like become the artificial brain, like the mind and the consciousness of the world
is
really what they call it, do they not?
That's what they call it, the consciousness of the world.
And we are being trained to rely on it more and more. Just Google it, you know, Siri, tell me what this is, and Alexa, would you do this for me, and you tell me how to find this information. And, you know, I think the youngest generation, the kids that are like 1 and 2 right now, are going to need to know, Alexa isn't real.
Yeah. It's not a person.
Does she, like, live in the bedroom? Is she, like, my sister? Like, who is she, you know? I just, talking to Siri, it drives me crazy, really.
I told her to shut off everything in the world.
We were writing this message. He's like, Siri, will you shut down every, what did you tell her?
I told her to shut down her ability to communicate all over the earth.
And she said, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying. He kept saying, well, you're just stupid. He's like, you're just a machine anyways. It's artificial intelligence, right? Remember, what's artificial mean?
What's artificial mean?
Fake.
Thank you.
Just keep that in mind as we go forward in life, in artificial intelligence. Where are we really going to look for the mind of truth? All right? Yeah. So, I mean, in 1950, these are just some facts here. In 1950, human knowledge doubled every 25 years. Think about this. Now, in the year 2000, human knowledge doubled every year. What we knew, what we could figure out.
Listen to this. This is crazy.
Today, our knowledge is doubling almost every day.
Crazy.
I mean, with all of this knowledge, the world is just changing so fast. So much going on, so much to know. Quantum computing, and people are just struggling to make sense of it all, right? What's true? What's false? How much do I need to know? I mean, you could start now for every day, 24/7, 365 days a year, and you'd drive yourself crazy trying to keep up with all of it. And with all the technological knowledge, and yeah, sure, technology has brought us great things.
Amen.
Obviously it has. But it does seem like life is not becoming simpler. It's getting far more complex, isn't it? It feels
and
just
stressful.
That way to me, and stressful.
Yeah.
I mean, technology is expanding all kinds of knowledge. Like I said, that you have these quantum, I don't understand at all, but I just know that there's a lot of knowledge out there at rates and speeds beyond what the human mind can comprehend.
Right.
And it's also allowing us to know everything about everybody. I mean, it's keeping track of everything and everybody, who you are, everybody all over the world. I mean, we are in information and knowledge overload.
Come on, let's hear that. Yeah.
I feel that way. Again, I don't know if you do, but I sure feel like that. We live in a culture, this is on our outline, a world culture with profuse amounts of information, but very little godly wisdom. There's a ton of information and knowledge out there. How much godly wisdom is mixed into it? So we have access to like billions of pages on the internet of information and knowledge. I mean, there's going to be more information produced in the next decade, I think, than has ever been discovered, it says, in all human history.
That's what they said, yeah.
You want to go. But yet the more information that there is and the more knowledge to and fro over the whole earth, it just seems like the more chaotic and volatile all this knowledge is.
Come on.
Because there's a mixture of lawlessness inside of all of it.
Can I hear an amen?
I mean, we have to, we bring this up about the mind of Christ because we have to be careful. We just don't get sucked into all of it. That You know, the Google knows everything, and Facebook is where we get all of our information, and YouTube, because they're censoring. Google, Facebook, YouTube censor information and knowledge, we know that, that they don't like. They consider harmful. And since, how do they have the authority to consider what's harmful for me? Because it seems as though everything that they consider harmful has often has a Christian thought.
Correct.
A conservative Christian thought to it. And so I find some of that interesting, that they want to have the authoritative last word, if you will. Like, this is where you're finding information. This is what's true. Google it. Siri, tell me about it. Alexa, what does this mean? We better have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Coming inside of our heart and penetrating deeply into our mind and our heart so that we can discern, wait a minute.
Come on.
That is false.
Come
based on the honoring the authority
Amen.
Of the Word of God.
That's right. Because you and I, we're being prodded. We're being pushed to accept and rely on this artificial intelligence as the way of the future. One will be wonderful. All the security we can have at home, at church, and at school, and on all the businesses. You know, it's, you know, we can hardly have to think about it. And see, that's the problem. You stop to stop thinking.
Yeah.
Somebody tells you everything. Like Pastor Mamie says, the cloud, what they're doing is telling you and forming you and conforming you to the world.
Right.
The world is a system. It's not a thing. The world is a system, and Satan is the god of this world. And so what he wants to do is be able to be like God. Remember, that's what he said. I will be like God.
It's a system of thought, really.
That's
is
correct.
What it is. It's
so
a thought
what he's
system.
Doing with all these computers, he's going to know exactly where you are. He's going to be able to have so much information about you that he can stand and tell you everything about your life. So he wants to be all-knowing, but he can't be all-knowing. Amen? But that's what he wants. I want you to remember the word artificial. AI, artificial intelligence, artificial. They're feeding you and feeding you. If you don't put this in, you're not going to be able to discern the difference.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because a half-truth is still a lie.
Yeah.
Okay. Artificial intelligence, artificial. Look up the word. Fake. What is the devil? The deceiver. You know, this is a good word today, guys. I don't care if Alexa or Siri sound so real. Oh, they're making all these
humanoid robots.
I don't care if the flesh feels real. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Artificial. I can talk to you. I can tell you. Oh, bang, bang, bang. You know, tell them to shut down. Everybody get on Siri and tell her shut down everything. You know, do you know that as we talk, sometimes Siri is listening. You look at this. You know your computer has a little camera right there? Facial recognition. They know everything about you already. We live in scary times, folks. Yeah. And we don't look to the cloud to find who we are, because this book tells you who you are.
Yeah.
We don't look to the cloud to try to imagine how our life is going to turn out. We look to this book.
Right. Yeah.
We honor the Word of God.
And I know, you know, you could, if you go on YouTube and you look at some of these robotic, these humanoid robots, it's and you listen to how they're progressing with them. I think a message like this, like to the electronic geeks of the world, would be like, ha, like you guys are just so stupid.
Right.
Like we're the ones with all the knowledge. But God's word written, think about it, 2,000 years or so ago, already understood the scoffing mind. towards his word.
Yep.
Like how relevant 1 Corinthians 1:27.
Come on.
He gives us this wisdom to answer people that would go, huh, the Bible, are you kidding me? For God deliberately chose what the world calls foolish to put the wise to shame.
Hello.
And what the world calls weak to put the strong to shame. I mean, that verse refers to the world just mocking the gospel message of salvation, how to find eternal life, where true knowledge is. It's like they call it foolish. And God chose something that looks foolish.
Amen.
Because it'd take a humble person to have to go, I'm going to come under the authority of this thing. I'm going to come under its authority. I know it might look stupid to the world, but I'm going to honor it. Because
Amen.
Look, it says the message, 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, for the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it's the very power of God. The scriptures, as the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard. Here it is, the intelligence of the intelligent.
There you go.
There's your... So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God's made the wisdom of this world look foolish, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. Thank God. Yeah.
Thank God is right.
The world calls the message of the gospel foolish, calls these words foolish. But to the humble person, the person who's willing to bow their knee and say,
yep,
I'm going to honor these scriptures with full authority over my life, it's going to open the door to the kingdom of God in your life.
Yeah.
And open the door to the treasure of your inheritance
that you have
in Christ when you repent of your sin and give your life to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to bring light and salvation.
Hallelujah.
To the searching heart, to the person who wants to know the truth.
Come on.
So it takes humility to do it.
Hallelujah.
But to say, you know, this is where I'm going to find life. This is where I'm going to find truth. This is where I'm going to find the knowledge of what I need to live out my days.
No, man. Guys, we're living in troubled times. Amen?
Amen.
Just watch the news. And it's not ridiculous to think, you know what? This Bible, this book has already told you what's going to happen. And it's happening before your eyes right now. And like Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. I mean, it's true. Today, what's good is called evil, and what's evil is called good.
Yeah.
When people are caught in lies, the politicians caught in lies, they never repent. They just keep going on
twisting
with their own delusion. This delusion's coming over people's hearts and minds. Obviously, you have seen it. And it's really coming back, not honoring anybody but my own opinion.
Yeah.
I'm right no matter what. And they'll continue. But the Bible prophesies this 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years. He tells you right here what's happening in our day and our time. And I'm telling you, if we're not prepared, it's like the 10 virgins found in Matthew 25. If we're not prepared, if we don't have oil in our lamp, the door's going to be shut.
Exactly.
Door's going to be shut. We don't want that, amen?
No.
Look at this 2 Thessalonians. This is talking to the people of the world. It says, because they reject the love of the truth that leads to salvation, God sends a deceptive influence over them so they will wander from the truth and believe a lie. As a result, God will judge all those who did not entrust themselves to the truth when it faced them, but instead reveled in wickedness. Jesus said before he comes back, lawlessness will increase. Now I'm 65 years old. I'm going to be 65. This is a totally different world than when I grew up.
Yeah, we thought it was lawless in the 70s. Like, oh my.
It's insane. It's the Bible tells it right here. He tells it right there. It's like Jesus says, it's going to be like the days of Noah. Lawlessness. It says only evil in men's heart. Lawlessness. you and I got to stand. You know, you and I have to stand. Matthew 24, people were eating and drinking. You know, oh, it's everyday life. We're going to get married tomorrow. Oh, everyday life. Guess what? God closed the door to the ark, and everything, the flood came and wiped them all out. People will think, oh, nothing's wrong. You know, it says it'll come like them on a thief in the night. But it says for us, if you're ready, children of light will know the signs of the time. We don't want to be unaware, amen?
Right.
Look at Matthew 24, 39. He's warning Jesus 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago he said this. But they did not know or understand until the flood came and swept them away. And so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And then here's what he tells you, and this is what he tells me. You must be ready, therefore, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him.
Yeah.
Even many in the church won't be expecting it.
Yeah. Yeah.
This church will teach you the Word of God. This church will encourage you to obey everything this book says.
Right. So, I mean, Jesus said, like, just as in the days of Noah, like, people were buying and selling and eating, drinking, given in marriage. And there's nothing wrong with those things. I mean, that's just part of everyday life. But he was saying that, you know, life will look, you know, in many ways just like everyday life. It'd be carrying on like it always did, as if it's just going to go on for another 1,000 years the same way. That people just ignore the signs of the times.
Mm-hmm.
And people will be completely unaware of the day and time they live in. They're not going to know that the end of all things is upon them. And that's where we're at today.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, Jesus Christ is coming at a time when many, even in the church, won't be prepared for his coming.
Right.
That's what the warning is in Scripture. I mean, in Genesis, if you go back and read in Genesis 6, it says the earth was depraved, the land was filled with lawlessness and violence, and it grieved the Lord's heart that humanity had just corrupted themselves so much. And God spoke to Noah and said, a judgment is coming. And look at what it says here. This is in Hebrews 11. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, the fear of the Lord, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. And by this he condemned the world, and he became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith.
Hallelujah.
Now it's debated, you know, but most calculate it took Noah, you know, around, let's just say 100 years to build the ark. If it was 75 to 100 or what, it's
120.
It was a lot of years, to build the ark. Think about that. 100 years. God gives him this message. The judgment is coming. Build an ark for you and your family that you're going to be saved because judgment's coming to the earth. And it takes him 100 years to do it. That's a long time, right? I mean, his entire life just became a witness to the word of the Lord.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I think to myself, do you live? Do I live? Do we live with a witness that of the word of the Lord in our life? Is your life a witness to him? On the job, in your neighborhood, wherever you go. But I mean, Noah based his whole life on the authority of those words spoken to him by God.
Yes.
There was no written book yet, but it was, we have it, we know it was inspired, because Jesus even refers to the story. And so in reverent fear, he builds this ark for the saving of his household. And I think it didn't take 1 year, it didn't take 2 years, it took not 50.
Right,
come on. You're 60, he's still doing it. And think about the people that that walked by, saw him doing what he's doing year after year. And it said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. We find that in, I don't know if it's 1st or 2nd Peter, but.
Yes.
So he must have been telling people, hey, repent of your sin.
Come on.
Get your life right with God. There is a judgment coming. And I can just think year after year, people walk past him. He goes, Noah, you're still building that boat, and you say some kind of rain is coming. We've never seen rain. Like, what are you doing? You're a crazy man. You know, snicker, walk by Noah, doing what he's doing. Year number, 50, 60. Noah's still building that boat. They're still walking by. We've heard all that before, Noah. Yeah, you've been saying that a long time, Noah, that there's trouble coming. There's a judgment coming.
Mm-hmm.
You say you're building a boat for a flood, ha, ha, ha. And I just think, nobody listened. The point to Jesus' warning for us in Matthew 24 is nobody listened. It was just like in the days of Noah. They bought and sold as he's building and the warning's going out and the judgment is going to come and everybody's just ignoring the word of the Lord.
That's right.
See, this is why the honoring of Scripture in our life, making it the highest authority, is going to save you. It's going to give us discernment for the day and time that we live in. Because the Scripture says in Hebrews, today is the day of salvation.
Yes.
And the children of Israel were warned, don't harden your heart. That's what the Hebrews, read it in chapter 3. Don't harden your heart when you hear the voice of the Lord. And that's what they did. And what happened to the children of Israel? They all died in the wilderness.
Only two made it in.
The younger generation went in, but all those that word came to ignored it. They didn't listen to it. And it grieves our heart. As time goes on, we see the lawlessness and you see the lack of interest in the things of God in the world. And you see how Satan is just pressing his mindset into young people's hearts to ignore the things of God, laugh at, mock it. And it just grieves our heart to see people come into the church. They come into the church. Or they say, oh, I'm coming. You're talking to them. I'm coming. You never see them. Or once they come, they leave the church sometimes in tears. That message. And I believe this message today is stirring your hearts. Because this is the whole point of ministering the word of God, to bring conviction to our heart, to say there's an urgency. I need to do something different with my life to change, to follow the Lord. And people will hear that. We've seen them walk out for years.
Yes.
With tears. Oh, God, touch me. I need this. And never see them again. And I think, what happened to that heart? What happened to them? I guess that's another message about the parable of the sower with the weeds that come in and choke the word of God. Where people can even get excited for a couple of years in the things of God. I said this last week. It's far easier to start out with passion. Most of us start out with joy and passion. I got saved, and God has a plan for my life. But it's just like Noah. It took 100 years. He's building this ark. It took a long time to see what God was saying, to see the promise even come to pass. And so we give up.
No, we don't.
No, I mean, people give up.
Yes, they do.
People just give up.
I'll correct
I don't
that.
Give up.
Amen.
Correct, yeah.
We don't give up.
Yeah.
Patient endurance.
But there's also a word in Scripture that talks about a great apostasy that's coming at the end of the age. And we see that.
Yeah, we do.
Apostasy means people that were once followers fall away.
Mm-hmm.
They fall away from their faith. You see that a lot. And I just say, friends, we can't ignore the signs of the times around us. We've got to pay attention.
Amen.
And we cannot think that just like, I'm sure they walked past Noah building that ark and thought, well, okay, I know where this thing is. If I ever see some kind of rain cloud coming or whatever it is you're talking about, I'll know where to go to. I'll know where to run to. I'll know where to get to. But it did say that door was shut. Then Jesus said, I'm coming on in a day and time that you don't expect it. And the door was shut.
God closed the door, if you read the word.
Yeah.
God closed the door. We don't want you to be on the outside.
We want to hear God's word, right? This is the day of salvation.
Yeah.
This is the day to accept the word of God. You should not put it off. It's a warning from Scripture. Don't put it off. Get your life right with God.
Yes, right.
Get on the path with God.
Mm-hmm.
Follow him with your whole heart. Because we truly believe that Jesus' return is on the horizon.
Yes.
We are living in a day and time where you're just seeing all of this come together. And it's almost easy, even as you see it, you want to tell yourself, am I really seeing it?
Yeah.
Is this really it? Like, is this it, Lord? I believe that it is.
It is.
And so today's the day to learn to be a lover of God's word.
A heart hunger.
We don't want to be like the people who came by as Noah built and said, I'll get to your boat someday when I see rain coming, I'll run in then. You don't know. We're not guaranteed even. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. So Jesus is giving us, actually, it's a loving word of
yes,
warning.
Yes, it is.
He's saying, be like the five wise virgins who filled their lamps with oil. The oil of the Holy Spirit, the knowledge of God, the love of God, so that when he comes, we're prepared.
Yes.
And so do you value the authority of God's word? Where do you place God's word in light of all the other information and knowledge in the world around you? Where does God's word fit in? And if you say, well, I believe it, and I believe it's God, and it's right, and it's true, well, then God would say, well, then do you honor it? Do you want to come under its authority? Are you willing to give up your life to find his life? That's the real question, because he does say, this is eternal life, that you would know me. And Jesus Christ, the one who was sent.
Amen. Yes, yes, yes. The Bible does declare that God closed the door of the ark. In the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. 5 went into the marriage. 5 were out trying to get oil.
Yeah.
They got oil, and then they came to the door and they knocked. It says, Lord, here we are, open up to us. And he said, go away, I never knew you. We don't want that to happen to you. And we're giving you an opportunity right now to give your life to Jesus Christ. I mean, give your life to Jesus Christ. This is real. We don't want you to be on the other side when that door closes. Because it's permanent and it's done. It's over. Right now, Pastor Mamie said it. She's quoting the Bible. Today's the day of salvation.
Is there anybody in here today who's saying, yep, I'm hearing your voice, Lord. I'm coming. I want to be saved.
Yes.
I want my sin washed. I want eternal life. Anybody who
want to make just raise your hand so we can see it.
Okay.
Here's another invitation, another thing of prayer. You know, we all get busy. What I want you to do is be keenly aware in your heart. Keenly aware. Because the deception is real and it's easy to slip. But God wants you to be steady with Him. Steady with Him. If you've been kind of walking away from God, doing your own thing, doing things you know is wrong, Jesus is giving you an opportunity right now to ask Him for forgiveness and dedicate yourself to Him.
Yeah.
Dedicate yourself to Him. Because outside of Jesus, there is no life.
Yeah.
It's all a deception. It's all artificial, which means fake. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through Him.
Okay.
Right now, I want you to just quietly get your heart right with God. Ask Him to forgive you for wandering away. Ask Him to forgive you for your thought life, entertaining the junk that comes. Wash yourself clean by the blood of Jesus. And when you do, listen. Jesus instantly forgives you. If your heart is right with Him, He's going to forgive you completely, and you start fresh right now. You don't have to do anything but truly believe that He's forgiven you. You don't have to wait till you feel forgiven. Jesus has forgiven you. Now I want you to make the step to walk with Him for the rest of your life. Heavenly Father, I ask that you open the eyes of everyone to understanding that here's this message. Let them see themselves where they are spiritually. And let them be encouraged as they allow you to control their life, to walk in your ways. Give us ears to hear and receptive hearts. In Jesus' wonderful name.